You're listening to Real Facts on Real Estate with Sean Patrick Maloney. Welcome to episode 58.
I'm here today with Jay Kinder of EXP Realty. Hey, Jay, nice to see you today.
Good to see you, man.
Yeah, excellent. So I wanted to talk today about recruiting, and I know you're the man with the recruitment plan. I've seen you videos online. I've seen you all around, and I saw some pretty impressive photos recently of your recruitment teams and things like that. So I wanted to get to talk to the expert in the field.
Right, man. Sure. I'm an open book.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I'm really excited for this. So first off, Jay, you want to just tell everybody just a little bit about yourself, your team sizes, things like that, that'll just verify who you are and what you do.
Yeah, so, 22 years in the business, originally in Lawton, Oklahoma, built a team there to a pretty good size. I think at one point I had 21 agents on the team, and in our prime, I think we were doing about 530 something transactions, I think my best year. Number two in the world for Coldwell Banker for a number of years in the top 10. And started a brokerage in Dallas in 2016. And we built that to 272 transactions with 10 agents in the first 12 months. So that was pretty accelerated growth type of a thing. And outside of that, you know, we coach and train real estate agents all around the country, and, you know, built some systems around pretty much anything you have to try to do in real estate to be successful. So that's kind of my story anyways. I live in just outside of Dallas, Texas now. And we moved everything over to EXP a couple years ago.
Excellent. So let's start off with, what would you say the number one thing to keep in mind when trying to recruit? I know that you work off a different platform now, but a lot of people work on the team building platforms, and just where do you start? Like, how do you get it all started?
Yeah. So I think the first thing, anytime you have to pitch or sell something, or, you know, in this case, you're selling someone why they should join you. You know, it starts with what's the offer, right? So, like, you know, you have to lay out the offer. What is it? What is the value that you're going to provide, and that's going to help them solve whatever problems that they may have or encounter? And what's the split and all that kind of stuff. Obviously, what's your offer? That's kind of where everything. That's where we start. Anything that we're trying to communicate the value starts with what is the value that we're offering in exchange for being on our team or whatever.
Sure. And then, you know, I was watching one of your videos recently, and you were talking about getting a CFO and everything. And, you know, when you're talking about the offer, I actually have been talking with some people about building teams. I want to talk about the importance of knowing your numbers before you start building. How important do you think that is, and what ideas would you have?
I've seen a lot of teams P&Ls over the years. So, you know, we helped a lot of people go independent for a number of years. At a certain point, like if you're at Remax or Keller or somewhere and you build a big team, you're paying a lot of money in and you're not really getting that much back. A lot of the people that we coach over the years, they would go independent and whatnot. We coached them to a profitability model that we had developed, and the numbers are critically important. So, like, most people that you see that build teams are actually, and a lot of times they're not profitable or not nearly as profitable as they should be, or you might think that they would be. When you start building a team, you have to understand the first thing that the biggest mistake people make is they don't realize they basically just created a whole new job for themselves. So, you know, the highest leverage activities in this business are face to face with clients. Highest leverage being a listing, you know, a seller client versus a buyer client. You'll spend on average 3 hours with the seller versus 21 hours with the buyer, just based on some, you know, research we did at one point. But so that, you know, that's, if you know that's the highest leverage activity, and then you recruit a bunch of agents, say, oh man, if they all do at least 3 deals a month, you know, then this is gonna be great. I'm gonna be rich, you know. But it never works out that way. You hire 3, 2 of them never sell anything. One of them might sell a home. 1.7 transactions per month is about what I've seen the average be for at least a decade, or more than a decade now. It's just been, that's kind of what it averages out to be. I mean, you might end up, and if you start handing them deals, which is what I did, I handed my first buyer agent. And so I did 233 transactions the first year not the first year, but the year that I added buyer agents at the end of that year. So I did most of those myself. They didn't close anything, maybe five transactions, something like that. But, you know, my first buyer agent was a killer because, I mean, I gave him all my buyer leads because I was going on more listing appointments. And so he did really well. I was like, man, he closed six this month. I mean, if I just get three more just like him, you know, then this is going to be great. Well, it never, ever happens, right? So, you know, that, you know, the numbers kind of always, you know, always played out. So, you know, you're giving away if it's a 50-50 split. I mean, that's half of the that's half of the revenue. So, you know, that's a large amount. And I think the biggest mistake people make is they don't realize how much time, effort, and energy is going to go into the actual managing and leading of buyer agents, because now you have a recruiting role, you have a training role, a lot of people will recruit agents before they have an onboarding process. They don't have a hiring process. They don't have an onboarding process. They don't have an ongoing training process. Like, those are all things that have to be built before you do it. Otherwise, you get caught up in trying to manage and lead and those agents versus doing more of the dollar productive activities, and you're giving away half the money. So it's a really dangerous thing to do if you're not looking really closely at your numbers. That's what I would say. That's a very important thing to be focused on, is knowing your numbers.
Yeah, that's actually very important what you were saying there. That's one of the things I just told you. I'm talking about that real estate domination event, and I'm going to talk about systems and setting up systems before onboarding, whether it be, you know, like there, they're going to be talking Airbnb, all these different things, but having the systems in place, who cleans the house? Same thing here. It's like, who does what? Like, who takes out the trash barrel in the team room? Do you have a cleaning lady? Because when you have other people, to expect that they're just going to suddenly do things because they're right. Getting paid, it just doesn't happen.
Right.
So the other question that comes up a lot when people are talking about recruiting, and this is more for team purposes, not just recruiting, but like, what is it that gets somebody to stay? You know, and I think you actually talked about it in that podcast I was watching, where they suddenly get big britches because you've been feeding them leads. And then the next thing you know, they think that, hey, I'm closing deals all the time, and why do I need Jay?
Right. Yeah. It's, I've encountered it from both sides, right? So like, an agent goes out on their own, like, I've never done the paperwork myself, and I always had all this help. And so like, there's a transition, you know, and really when an agent does the math. For what I normally would see is, if you got a rock star, you know, and we all want to work with A players. I mean, one of my mentors told me one time, B players are people that you spend time with instead of your family. And I was like, oh, gut punch, right? Like, I mean, I know there was people that I worked, I wanted them to be successful more than they wanted to be successful. And those people, you know, well, they're just a drain. And it sucks, because it's just like, they're okay. They're not bad. They're a B. That's not a bad score there, but they're not an A player. And so A players are magical, right? Like, you get an A player, like, man, this person gets it. They do the work like I would do the work. Like, that's always a good get, but you're always going to wake up every day if you have a team and your biggest fear is going to be that person's leaving. And so, and at some point they will, unless you have an opportunity that's in alignment with their goals and dreams. And so anytime you're leading people, which is what you're doing when you build a team, you have to understand, well, what are their goals? What do they want to be? Where do they want to be in 5 years? What do they want their life to look like? Do they want to build a team? And then you have to get in alignment with helping them do that. And if that means at some point they might leave you, then you need to understand that they're only going to be with you for a season. And so, as much as you would like to make some people stay, their vision and their for themselves might be different than that. And unless you can create an opportunity for them within your team, that they can see that that's getting them closer to their goals, at some point they're going to probably, think that there's something better out there. And, you know, other agents are going to be recruiting them. Other companies are going to be recruiting them if they're a good agent, and then something is going to align to their goals. And so, as a leader, you got to spend that time, number one, knowing and understanding what their goals are, and then trying to create opportunity to align to that. So, I think that's a fundamentally the most important thing that you can do as a leader leading people. But the math usually is the problem. And I remember my best agent when she left and ended up coming back a year later. But when she left, I mean, you know, I always ask for the data. So like, hey, I'm going into a meeting with Sue. What's the, you know, give me the last 12 months transactions, you know, and she was like doing like 40 or 50 deals a year. I mean, she was a good agent. We looked at that math, and I mean, half of them were deals that I gave her, and half of them were deals that she would have got no matter where she was. And so, there's a 50-50, you know, and then there's all the things that we did and she loved the team environment, things of that nature. But like, there's a certain point where, man, maybe you might have to make an adjustment somehow in your model in order for them to want to stay. And so, you know, she was, you know, at this point she was about 4 years in. And so she was getting repeat and referral business now from the people that I gave her in the beginning. So, you know, she thought, I looked at it as like, those were my leads, you know, not yours, but she looks at it as like, they would have came with me anyways, cause they love me. So there was always this butting of heads, you know, when you don't know the math, you just get frustrated. She's like, man, I did so much. You came from here to here and now you're so successful and now you want to leave me. Like, and you feel like a victim. But in reality, it's really more, I think the focus has to be around getting clear on what their opportunity is. How do you support them better? How do you, you know, solve their problems that they're dealing with when they're doing a lot more business, and how do you add more value to the relationship? And if you do those things and you have those weekly one-on-one meetings where you're spending time with them, then you should never be surprised. I mean, someone should never leave you and you'd be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that. But when you skip those meetings and you don't have them and somebody leaves, that's how you feel, right? Like, I can't believe this. I can't believe you're leaving. Right.
Sure. Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. I like what you said there about aligning with their goals, because I think that's always something that we forget, is like, we always look at the world the way we look at it. Mm-hmm. But it's really not about that when you're dealing with other people. So that's excellent. So what would you say the biggest draw to get recruits into your team, into your business, into your model? Like, what do you usually use? Like, what's the carrot on the stick, or whatever you want to call it?
Yeah, that's a good question. I would say that fundamentally, I would go to for anything is adding tremendous value up front. So, that's just a concept that we've used forever. You know, they call it moving the free line or whatever the case may be, but trying to help agents become successful. So, if you can add value to an agent's life and help them with anything that you're doing that would make them more successful, that's a good way to start a relationship. So, I would start with, you know, something that adds value to the agent. And so teaching things that you're doing that's working is fundamentally one of the things that we lead with everything, is if I can show you how to make more money and you actually make more money, you're probably going to listen to me the next time I have a conversation with you. So that's kind of the philosophy, I guess, that I kind of adhere to at all times. But as far as recruiting agents, what's the one thing that works? I think, you know, it's important that you're successful if you want people to want to be a part of your team. You know, I think, you know, you have to be leading by example, meaning you have to be killing it and doing deals, and they have to see that they can learn something from you by being a part of what you're doing and getting in alignment with.
Sure. That makes sense. That makes complete sense. Cause I think ultimately, you know, that's what the big box brands survive off of, is they get agents that people want to be like. You know, we've watched certain groups grow through purchasing agents up and things, right? And they're really not, you know, people always beat them up. What are they doing? You can't give that high of a split. Oh my God. But they don't realize that that's the carrot, that
right,
they're not concerned about that person. It's all the people that person brings into the organization that really matters beyond the actual one-time dealing.
I hope this podcast helps you plan out your success in the real estate industry. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns about today's podcast, or you have ideas for future episodes, please feel free to email me, DM me, PM me, whatever works best. I really appreciate you listening, and I look forward to talking to you next week.